the Township of McKellar Special Meeting of Council, Budget Number 2 of March 28th, 2024, to order. Start with roll call.
Councilor Marley Haskell.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Fire Chief Robert Morrison.
Treasurer Roshan Kantia.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Mike Heckman.
Clerk Administrator Ina Watkinson.
Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. I have Resolution 24-174, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby approved the agenda for the special meeting of Council as presented. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Resolution 24-175, moved by Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby move into committee of the whole at 2:01 p.m. for Council to continue the review and discussion of the draft 2024 budget. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. I realize our fire chief's here, but I think we probably should start with Roshan to give us an overview of what changes you've made from the March the 1st.
Sure. Thank you very much, Mayor and the Council. As we discussed in first meeting of the budget, I have revised my number based on the discussion of the first meeting, and the number which we changed it already in my report, but I would like to go through again. I have increased the surplus amount. Initially, in the initial budget, I put the surplus amount 162,000. Now it increased to $998,712, which we have to use either surplus or we have to borrow the funds, or it could be a both. Second change is that the Canada Post lease, initially I put the revenue $3,924. Now it changed to $2,281 based on the new lease agreement. And then information technology budget is increased by $10,000. It depends on the outcome of the RFP. I just added the extra amount in that account, that line item, to cover any future expenses. The budget of 3,500, which was 2019 truck in the fire department, was actually missed in the first draft, so I included that one. Then recycling contract was increased by $1,000 based on the email information to cover non-eligible material. The DSAB amount increased by $14,000, so now the new amount is $312,962, which the increase is 4.68% from previous year. The custodian budget has been increased by $8,800 to cover any future expenses, and it's now $40,000. Transfer to reserve to veteran account is $1,000. The fire department has requested a new truck, and the cost of the truck is $300,000. And fire department has $127,000 in the reserve, and the remaining amount we have to use either surplus or we have to borrow through the debenture. Road studies for fire route 152, 152A, 152B, Moffitt Road, Lakeshore Boat Road, Ramp, included for $425,000. discussion about the purchase and install the playground equipments at the Broadbent Ballpark for $40,000. That's also included in the budget. Overall, and I have also included the one extra road in the capital items because we last time when we were discussing about the roads, we were not sure if we would like to use do both roads or one road, so that's why I put the extra road for $600,000 in the capital budget. Those are the pretty much changes in the in our second draft. So overall, I kept the levy at same. It's 6.323. So there's no change in levy as compared to the first draft. So levy is same. It's only now we have to decide how we are going to pursue with the some of the bigger ticket items like in the truck and the roads. So I have provided three scenario in my report. If the council decided to use the debenture, or if the council would like to use the surplus, that's where I provided three scenarios. And if you look at the report, scenario one, scenario two, and scenario three.
We'll just make sure everybody can find that sheet. So.
It was separately stapled when I got mine anyway, Abby, but that's
the first draft.
I think that was from the first budget meeting.
I think so.
Does that cover that you have? I don't have here. I mean, I do, but in the other file. So
let me print it also.
Sorry.
Do you want my copy just to look at it for now while he's printing it?
What were you going to use?
We're not going to talk about it until he comes back, anyways. So if you want to familiarize yourself with it,
okay.
There you go.
Carly's going to run the whole package and then we'll
put
it together.
This one seems to stand out. It's shorter, plus it's vertical. Most of the other horizontal approach. No? You got that? Yeah. Do you want the rest of your pages? Just to have the rest of them?
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, no problem.
So let's start with the scenario three first. And that's the scenario where I'm saying that if we have amount, 773, and 773 is the total of 600,000 for the road and 173,000 for the truck. 773, if we use our own money, then we have to forego the interest which we need to earn on that money. That's opportunity cost, that's the interest we are going to lose if we pay the money or the funded right away from our own money. The interest we need to earn on that money, that's almost 70,000, which we are going to forego. That's our net cost of, you know, using our own money. That's a scenario three. Now, if we are going to borrow the funds from the infrastructure entity, then they have two methods. One is called the amortizing method, and other one is the
serial method.
Serial method. In the amortizing method, basically the payment, total payment, will be same. Principal interest will change. In the serial method, the principal amount will be same. The total amount will change. So that if you look at the first scenario, now if you can look at the first scenario, see that the money, if we use the first method, and if we use the borrowed money, then the interest we are going to earn $71,755, and the interest we are going to pay $98,488. So the net cost of borrowing this by this method is $27,93.
Over 10 years.
Over 5 years. Sorry.
5 years, sorry, yeah, they're semi-annual. Yeah, I forgot.
Any
that.
Question?
So the interest amount that we're paying to borrow $773,000 is $98,848.
Correct.
The money, whether we borrow or not, that we would be earning on the money that we have in reserves, the interest we would earn on that is $71,755.
Correct.
So you can't say that it's only going to cost us $27,000, because if we borrow this or not, that money is going to earn us that interest. You cannot incorporate this as a, it's not independent of the big picture. So I don't think that's fair to say that the cost of borrowing is only going to be $27,000.
So the cost will be $23,700, because if you pay out of your pocket right now $773,000, the interest you're going to earn on that $773,000, $71,000, that's you're going to lose it.
But you cannot take money that you were going to be earning interest on and somehow use it into the accounting that somehow it's only going to cost you $27,000. That's money that we're going to earn interest on whether we borrow this money or not. So that there is revenue that is completely independent of us going into a debenture or not. So I don't. It's not a proper way of trying to sell a debenture to council, because we need that revenue. It's completely. It's independent of whether we borrow or not.
And again, I'm not selling anything here. I'm just trying to tell you the council, the different scenarios, and it's all, again, at the end of the day, it's a council decision. So my point is that in layman terms, that if you have $773,000 and if you buy something from your own pockets for $773,000 and if you don't keep it for next 5 years, then you will lose the money interest which you're supposed to earn on that money.
Well, I completely understand
yeah.
what you're saying.
So that's what I'm trying to tell, that, you know, if you keep that money for 5 years, then you will earn that interest on that. But if you, if you don't have money right now, right, but you won't earn anything on that one. But you're paying the interest, or if you borrow the money from through the debenture, the interest you're going to pay and the interest you're going to earn is the difference is $27,000.
Yeah, still, that's, I cannot be convinced that it's only going to cost $27,000, because we do have to come up with $98,000 in interest. So that's what it's going to cost the township, is $98,000 in interest for this debenture. That's revenue that we would be receiving whether we borrow or not, and that's revenue that we account on in our picture of the revenue that the township relies on in the coming year. So
I think the way I picture it is a cost comparison chart, the interest you're earning and the interest you're paying on it. I think that's the purpose of the chart. But my concern is, I guess, when we look at the interest earned all the way down, that's assuming that we have that kind of money still in that account. What if we, like, pooled, we spent it all? We don't, suddenly in year two, then we're not earning $12,000 interest. We have nothing to earn any interest
So in this case, instead of, and again, you know, I'm going back to the first scenario that if you pay 773 out of surplus right now, right? And in this case, you're still going to pay from your surplus, but you're going to pay only the amount of the payment, 87,000 each year, instead of paying the 773 right now. So the difference is that each time you take out 87,000 from 773, the remaining balance will earn the interest.
But I'm just wondering what we actually use then for 773, for instance. If, for instance, the pool was, what was it, 500 and some thousand?
Yeah.
They want it all at once?
Yeah, yeah, they all want once. That's the,
right.
The issue was that with that one. But here, debenture, we know that we are going in going to pay in 5 years, and we know the total amount each year we're going to pay.
Right.
Then we know what the balance left in the other account.
Right, but are you going to pay that each year? For instance, you mentioned 600,000 for the roads.
Right.
I'm just trying to get my head around this.
Right. Yeah.
So 600,000 is already used at a 773 because they'll want their money up front.
So when we get the money, 700,000, we have a surplus here, 773.
Right.
So if we got the money through this debenture, we will pay for the road.
Right.
That surplus, we still have it. We haven't used the surplus yet.
That's why I'm confused, because
so
the 600,000.
That's why I went straight to the third scenario because.
Oh, I'm looking at the first one, the amortization.
That's why I started with the third scenario because
right.
I was trying to tell the council if we don't have a debenture.
Right.
Obviously, in that case, we are going to use the surplus amount, the 773.
Yeah.
It means we paid out of the road, we don't have a debenture, zero, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But if we go the debenture, we got the debenture of 773, we paid for the through the debenture for the road, we haven't touched the surplus yet. We still have a surplus for 773
right.
in the account.
Okay.
So that surplus we will use to pay off the amount. The debenture each year.
That's maybe more sense. Okay, good.
Yeah.
It is fair to say that, the interest should be paid, which is the very right-hand column, if I'm right, yes.
Yeah.
And then the interest earned, which is money that we would make, that has both of those, the interest earned is a positive effect upon our financial picture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's entirely legit to say that we're not saying that the borrowing costs aren't there, but they're at least partially offset
right.
by the interest that we earn. And therefore, if we didn't use a debenture, then we would lose any interest earned because that money would simply be gone. And I would think, obviously, that would be reflected in our reserves, right, if
yeah.
we did that. And that could be catastrophic if we needed that money for something unknown.
Correct.
Right? So I did talk to Roshan about this the other day because I was confused by how it was being stated. But he finally bent my head around to getting it, and now I get it and go... Yeah, but I admit I was confused the first time I read it. So,
well, once again, I don't believe that's sort of a fair, because that would be like saying, okay, we're not going to spend $600,000 in the Public Works Department budget. Therefore, with that six, let's say it's $773 we're not going to spend in the Public Works Department budget. Therefore, we'll be earning $71,755 on interest on that money that we're not going to allocate to the Public Works Department budget. Wow, that means that we're only going to have to pay $27,000 on our debenture. So it's money. The 773 that we have in reserves is our revenue. So that is completely independent. And it's in each scenario that we, even if we, like I said, if we didn't allocate 773 to the Public Works Department budget, you can't say that because we didn't do that, now we're going to be. This debenture is going to only cost us $27,000.
It's only going to cost us net $27,000.
Right.
We can disclose a net. He has both the gross, which is the right-hand column, $98,000, less the $71,000. And so that is our net cost, because we will be earning this interest at the rates that he's documented down below. I checked the math just to make sure, and
it
is correct.
I fully understand that, but
okay.
That is revenue that, whether we borrow money or not, is revenue. Then when you look at our revenue columns and you look at our expense columns, that is revenue. It's completely independent of whether we borrow money or not. So
it is. No, I completely disagree with that statement. If we took our our reserves and or our surplus, as Roshan has referred to it, then we would cease earning interest on that the very first day we did it. So that's not fiction, that's fact, right? And it does show up in our budget. I can't remember where, Roshan, where do we show the interest income on our bank accounts that we get paid by the bank?
The very first page on the revenue side.
I know, I saw it, and I looked at it.
Yeah, on the very first page, the revenue investment income from operating account.
So it's on the first page? Okay,
yeah.
So I should have noticed that. Interesting, sorry, yeah. So the third item down under others, fourth item, no. Fourth item down under others, yeah.
Investment income.
Yeah.
So last year we...
And therefore, if we were to take it from surplus, this number would drop by approximately, anyhow, $71,000, right? So it's fair to say, and I don't think we're disguising it, the fact that we're discussing here in open council. I mean, I don't think there's any attempt here to disguise what we're doing. This is simply an analysis of what
it
is.
That it's trying to disguise.
I'm not saying that you did.
I'm just saying that the end result, when you look at our revenues and our expenditures, is that there is $73,000 less in revenues. So if we take out a debenture, that's... There's no magic here. Like, you know, the revenue is going to decrease by $73,000, and it's just allocating it over into another column. So it's not as if that that this debenture is not going to cost us the gross amount in the end.
It is. For the very simple fact that what you see under the interest earned column is interest that we will earn if we use a debenture.
If we don't borrow any money at all, we're going to be earning $73,000. So that contributes to our revenue.
And if we don't do the roads and we don't buy the fire truck, there's lots of things we could stop doing.
That's
but
fair.
I mean, this is a fair and honest and accurate assessment. And again, I even checked the math just to be sure I understood it. This is an accurate assessment of the impact to the town of using a debenture to pay for those two things, right? $600,000 for roads and $173,000 for the fire truck. And using a debenture saves our capital, saves it in our surplus, if you want that word. I have a little bit of trouble with calling it that, but I understand your terminology. The fact is that this is an honest representation of at least one option, and I don't know, Roshan, if you want to get into number two as well, but...
Number two option is also works on the same way. That's called a serial method. And over there, the principal amount remains the same during the period. It's a total payment and the interest rate changes. So the cost of borrowing in that situation is $26,094.
But it's fair to say, just like any deal, if I'm getting this money in and only paying out more than that, I'm going to be out $27,000. That's fair. But I mean, the net effect to the taxpayer is only that amount, not the gross amount. Right? So in other words, it's 27,093 or 26,094, and those are all projections based upon estimated interest rates, and all those things are variable. But notwithstanding that, it's an accurate assessment of the options.
That's your opinion, and that's fine.
Yeah. An example would be the five-year term. After 2 years, we would have borrowed $300,000, but we still have $400,000 of our own money that we're still earning interest on, so that... Mike, it's kind of an example, kind of what I think you are trying to get across, that we are keeping that money and earning interest on it, basically, is what it is. So,
well, I guess, just as a comparison, I mentioned the pool before. Maybe you could explain that to us, what happened there as far as our borrowing.
So, basically, when we borrow the funds from the pool...
It was a similar amount, wasn't it?
A similar amount, but in the case of the pool, they took all the money right away within 1 year.
Yeah.
So we didn't earn anything, you know, we were expecting it. And we were expecting to pay them a balance at least in 3 or 5 years, because in no way I would have known that, you know, they wanted the money right away.
So
we lost the
money.
Yeah, that hurt for sure.
We just didn't want a repeat of that.
Quite true.
Yeah, because that was the plan with the pool. It's like, oh, well, it's not going to be that bad financially because we're going to be earning all that interest. And I understand it totally. And I think it's the best way, if we decide that's the route we're going to go, I think it's a great way of financing, you know, to...
It's a great way of getting the roads done that won't get done if we don't do one of the options anyhow, so...
Okay, so one number is the every... So twice, or the total amount that we have to pay annually for this debenture is $174,369.
Semi-year, so yeah, twice a year.
Okay,
yeah.
So where is that coming from? Because it's not deducted from your scenario ones, twos, or threes from the, because you have to, that revenue has to come from somewhere. So where is that in the budget? So you, on the column R money, is it coming out
surplus
of...
Surplus, it's already
so it's coming out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's $773, period zero, and period, so that would be, say, June 1st, 2025.
Yeah.
Or 2024.
Four, yes.
If council agrees and council okays me that, okay, let's go with that option, then, but if, and in my scenario, that's what it says, notes, if we, if our infrastructure approves everything by June 2024, and then and they give us money, so, you know, that's, you know, if you look at my different notes, that says, you know, during that period, how much we will earn the interest, and our first payment will start in December 1st, and then after that, second payment will be in June next year, 2025.
Okay, so is that incorporated in your calculations on interest earned, the subtraction of approximately $175,000 a year in your interest calculations?
Yeah, if you it's by the individual. If you look at the first payment, when we had the money, 7873, and the first period, because it's twice a month, so, you know...
Or twice a year.
Twice a year, sorry. Then, you know, the 87,000 were reduced by from 773, so 685,815 is remaining.
Okay, there, I see that. Yeah.
It all depends if the council decided the those two things which was added on this budget, road and the truck. If they, you know, agrees with that, then we can further discuss on, you know, option and all those kind of, but then, you know, council first discuss on that, those, they do really want two roads to be done this year, or one road needs to be done this year, or the fire truck needs to buy, after that, I guess we can look at the option, right?
Yeah, oh, that's excellent, and I know you're tossing it over to Rob now. Good segue. This our second look at this, I mean, the truck came into, that's why we're talking about it now. So
no,
maybe
absolutely.
Give us
yeah.
some background on
Well, so the topic of replacing Rescue 2, and sorry, I want to address that there is a typo in the paperwork. It says it's for the replacement of Rescue 1, and just for clarity, it's actually Rescue 2.
Well, you see, that's what I tried to figure out.
Yeah.
Rescue 1 becomes
Rescue, we
two.
Just did Rescue 1.
Right.
Rescue 1 is out of Station 1. Rescue 2 is out of Station 2. So it's a truck allocation identification tag,
yep.
essentially.
Yeah, that's a fairly important typo.
Yeah. So, for clarity, Rescue 2, which is the 2014 ambulance that we were able to secure for $1 off of the Peel, excuse me, the Parry Sound EMS, it is, it has intrinsic value to us, it has no monetary value to us, because anything that we were to sell it for, we would have to hand over minus $1 to Parry Sound EMS. Currently, it has about 280,000 kilometers on it, and it's due to be replaced. Just from a safety, from a functionality standpoint, it's time that we started looking at this. I first introduced this formally back in August, when I provided you the apparatus status and succession planning document, in which I discussed my desire to replace it in the fall of this year, prior to getting into the snow with it. This is an absolutely terrible vehicle to drive in the snow. We were very fortunate this year. So that's where the subject of the fire truck comes from. Now, this is, for lack of better terminology, it's a dynamic request. I have put together a group. We have essentially a truck committee. They are putting together essentially a list of demands. What's the best possible truck to put in this scenario? So we have given you a price that we figure is a good approximation of what the cost is. Within the last few weeks, however, we did have discussion, or at least I provided a memorandum after requested, about the longevity of vehicles, as requested by Prince Edward County, I believe.
Yeah.
Where it was the 20 years insurance.
Yeah.
They no longer recognize it as a frontline vehicle. In speaking with other chiefs who are currently in the middle of a procurement for a very similar vehicle, they are looking at, and one thing that would be of great interest to us, possibly great interest to council, is the subject of a mini pumper, which they tend to start at about $300,000. I have quotes for them between $300,000, $400,000, up to $500,000, depending on how they're outfitted. The reason why this is a subject that sort of has come up since that is with our next truck scheduled beyond Rescue 2, and by all means, we could go the same as Rescue 1 and be quite happy with it. There are a few improvements after living with this truck for a year and a half that we would choose to make, hence the list and the truck committee of, how can we try to fit this in for the best possible price and get the best possible usage for the next 20 years out of this truck. Beyond Rescue 2, the next truck that's slated to be replaced is our tanker. It is a tandem axle tanker international. It's a 2012, and according to the insurance ratings, it's due to be scheduled in 2032. The current asking price for trucks like that is in the neighborhood of $700,000 to $800,000. By 2032, you're going to be over $1 million. Cost of vehicles has skyrocketed in the past 5 years. Procurement of vehicles through an RFP process has become extremely difficult because they're so in demand. And I'll touch on that subject in a couple minutes. But essentially, looking at the insurance ratings, if I provided my opinion stating that, in my opinion, the better way to rate a fire apparatus in order to increase the longevity, especially in rural townships such as ours, is to do it by an hours of usage type of scale. I think that we can get more than 20 years out of a vehicle. In perfect functionality, yes, you do start to face things like parts availability and issues like that, but in my opinion, that's a better way to rate the actual age of a vehicle is the hours of usage. Pending the insurance adjuster's review of that policy and changing it, it's still at 20 years, and then it has to become a secondary apparatus, especially when it is a frontline vehicle. Right now, out of Station 2, the Tanker 2, the 2012, is our frontline pumping apparatus out of the south end of the township. If we were to investigate and acquire a mini pumper, being essentially the size of the F-550 that you were given the picture of, however, a little bit extended, and with a pump capacity that meets the NFPA standards, which is 1,000 kPa pumped at 1,000 liters per minute at 1,000 kPa, or 250 gallons per minute at 150 psi, is what it needs to be able to pump. If we were to secure a mini pumper, which would give us better access to fire roads, give us better access, being a four-wheel drive vehicle, to the back roads and so forth, especially when it comes to wildfires and stuff like that, which is a hot topic nowadays, we could actually extend the lifespan of Tanker 2 significantly because it's no longer a primary pumping apparatus. We've effectively bought ourselves as long as that truck lasts before we need to replace it. So we could defer that $1 million purchase beyond 2032 significantly based on the health of, and that's hard to predict, based on the health of Tanker 2, if we procure a mini pumper that meets the standard.
And what date again for the mini pumper?
The mini pumper, well, this is the vehicle that I would like to put into service at fall of this year. Okay? So if we were to purchase, instead of a a pickup truck platform, or excuse me, instead of a pickup truck or a pickup truck with a roll-up door platform like you were given, if we were to go with just a little bit more of an investment, well, little is a relative term, if we were to go with more of an investment, we may get away with spending $100,000 more to save us significantly deferring that major expense in 8 years from now.
And it is no guarantee the government will change the rules and not accept a mini pumper?
Well, the NFPA standards are the NFPA standards. That's standard across all of North America. So the odds of it changing to not include that capability, obviously we would like to get a mini pumper, and everything that I've looked at, it exceeds the minimum standard.
Right.
So as long as we exceed the minimum standard, I'd say that we are in pretty darn good shape. That is a significant pumping capacity at the minimum standard as it is.
But we would require them to use the number of hours, not the age of the vehicle as well?
So that was my opinion provided to you guys in support of the Prince Edward County resolution that they should extend the 20 years.
Right.
If they go to 25 years, that's better too. You know, I just felt that as a course of measurement, hours was better than years when it comes to rural apparatus. You know, when it comes to urban apparatus, then 20 years is. I mean, I've been on a few 20-year-old trucks, and they're beat by the time they get to 20 years. Whereas ours, at 8 years left, still has, it's only got 32,000 kilometers on it.
And if I'm right, your last fire reports that you give us, the monthly reports, we're getting an average of 2 or 3 fire calls a month.
So in your fire reports that you get on a monthly basis, it's just simply broken down into fire-related calls, medical-related calls.
Right.
That those fire-related calls can be essentially it's anything but medical. Okay, so it's motor vehicle accidents, it's wires.
But you wouldn't
down,
be taking a tank
for
on medical calls, or you don't take tankers?
No, we don't. That's what Rescue 2, that's why Rescue 2 essentially gets used and abused as much as it does.
Right.
Is because we run 70, I guess, and you'll see this is part of the CRA, which you'll be receiving in the next month or so. Medical calls make up, over the last 3 years, 74% of our overall responses.
Mm.
So a medical call, the rescues go out on every call, but primarily medical calls. You're taking, you know, the apparatus, the pumping apparatus, you're saving them from 74% of the calls.
Mm.
Right? They're only doing 25% of the calls. Okay?
So that's the question with the number of fires. I know you can't predict that.
Yeah.
I can't predict that. We average approximately 1 to 2 fires a year,
mm-hmm.
Of various intensities. We had the fire on the south end of the township, where we had $150,000 fire loss, but we saved the structure, and we've had other ones in the past that have been complete loss.
So I guess the question we have to wrestle with is the number of times it will actually be used, and do we have still an agreement with surrounding townships who would have the equipment as well?
We have mutual aid agreements in place.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of that, absolutely. And so we status quo would work. What I'm proposing and the idea that I'm bringing up, and again, this is a dynamic request. It is completely at council's direction. How much do you want to invest at this point in time to avoid that particular expense in the next couple of years, in the near future? Is it worth us to invest in that mini pumper now, get a 20-year runway before we have to now worry about, you know, none of us are going to be here in 20 years sitting at this table to talk about how do we replace this pumping effort. I just mean at the table, that's all I mean.
We should put that in our plan, right? Expiring date for
the expiring
at the table.
Yeah. There you go. That's all I'm trying to say. We have a lot of very intelligent people surrounding this table. So what do we think it would be the best course of action in order to get the most out of the dollars that we have, knowing that your dollar is not going to go as far 8 years from now?
Yeah, no, I agree. And what we have to deal with, of course, is the number of departments coming to us, and whether we concentrate on roads this year or fire.
100%.
So I just have a question.
Sure.
So Rescue 2, is that the one, the 2014?
2014 ambulance, yes.
Okay, so this mini pumper is not to replace that.
It would.
It would become. It would function.
It would
do
be,
all the functions
absolutely.
That 2014.
Yes, it's essentially an extended pickup truck platform, an F550, very similar to the pictures that you've received, except about 3 feet longer, mm-hmm. because you're incorporating a pump in front of the storage capacity area.
So you're not going to come, if we went this route, you're not going to come to us next year and say you need to replace to have something more like Rescue 2 is now.
No. Okay. We have, out of Station 1, we have three apparatus. We have a primarily medical vehicle, command post, and MVC vehicle, which is our Rescue 1. We have our primary fire vehicle, which is Pumper 1. It is our only dedicated pumper within the township. And then we have our multiple-use vehicle in Tanker 1, which is just a smaller version of Tanker 2. And that provides us with a frontline pumping apparatus that we can use to both transport water but also deliver it onto a fire.
Okay, so if we don't go with the pump, the mini pumper, how are you going to replace Rescue 2?
If we did not go with more of an investment than the 300, and the best price that I've heard was coming from the fire conference last weekend in Huntsville, and there it was Carrier Emergency Vehicles offered a mini pumper at $300,000 as a starting point. If we replaced it with just a rescue vehicle, so in other words, no water carrying, no pumping capacity, but the ability to carry equipment and people, then we would take old Rescue 2 and transition that into an auxiliary vehicle, in which we would equip that with all of our wildfire, all of our rescue gear, like our ice rescue gear, and so it would now only go to, it would probably only go to 5 to 10 calls a year.
And that's
but it would allow us to have a mobile platform for all of our specialized equipment.
And it has 280,000 on it as of now.
Yeah, that's a 276 or something
so
like that.
Did you tell me what the cost to do that would be?
To
transform it all, the old one, into something?
There's no cost.
Oh.
No, that vehicle
mine.
That vehicle, to take that vehicle and remove it from frontline service and become a secondary vehicle, like I did, like I stated in the plan back in August, all we're doing is changing parking locations and moving all the specialized equipment onto it and removing all the frontline equipment and putting it on the new vehicle. We already have all the equipment.
Okay.
And right now what we do is we have, if you were to go to Station 2 at any day of the week, we have sitting on the bay floor behind our vehicles is we have all of our ice rescue stuff. And then we have all of our wildfire stuff because we're in a transition season right now. You know, there are some grass fires that are starting to pop up in areas, fortunately. We haven't experienced one ourselves. We have all of our equipment sort of staged on the floor. And then when we get a response, we have to quickly take stuff off the truck, put it on, and so forth. And then we can make the response for anything other than a medical. Whereas what we would have after replacing Rescue 2, we would then gain our Rescue 3 back. If you remember, we used to have a Rescue 3, which no longer passed its certification last year, and we sold it for 9,000 something. That vehicle will be fully stocked and ready to go. So worst case scenario, somebody, the next person through the door, hops in, grabs keys, they're gone. There's no loss of time, there's no delay. There's no equipment that gets forgotten because everything is already in place.
Am I right, though, that the options here are to buy a new Rescue 2 or a mini tanker? Is that a
mini pumper?
Mini pumper, sorry.
So we are going, we need to replace Rescue 2.
Okay.
Straight across the board.
Okay.
Whether that vehicle has the ability to pump and carry water or not, I am leaving up to the guidance of council as to how much of an investment you would like to make. Some of the benefits are we defer the major cost of replacing that tanker until a later date. The numbers have to change, obviously, in the forecast that Roshana has worked on if we were to add a certain amount to it, but because we went with 300, we decided that was a good jumping off point. We know that fits the least, how do I put this, the lowest quote, so to speak, that I've heard come across. Okay. How that vehicle is exactly equipped and so forth, beyond being a mini pumper, that still will take some investigation. This information was provided back in January, so there's been a little bit of a change since then with the Prince Edward County memo and stuff like that, right?
Okay, so Rob, just to be clear.
Yes.
Just to be clear, okay, you got to replace the 2014 that you have right now.
Correct.
And if you get the mini pumper, it's $300,000, right?
If we get, so no, with the mini pumper, it will be more than $300,000 because we have HST, and we don't know how it's equipped.
But
it could be $360,000. I have a quote that's,
okay,
I have some quotes that go to $470,000.
Forget that. So the so if you don't get that, I understood you just said if we're to replace the 2014, it'll be no cost, but that's not right. There'll be a cost if we're not.
I don't believe I said that.
Did he not say that?
I think he said that we wouldn't get any value back for it. When we sell it, the best we could get is a dollar.
I thought you said you had all the stuff you could put
transfer,
on.
You still have to buy the truck.
Okay,
transitioning Rescue 3.
What is the cost of the truck?
Well, so the cost of the truck is what we budgeted for at this point in time is $300,000.
Oh.
The one of the examples that I have for you is it's $263,000 plus HST and so forth. Okay? Once we got our truck committee that's come back in, where they're supposed to come back in May with their recommendations and so forth, we can start to look at putting together an RFP. That leads into the next thing is that there have been so many problems by other townships working within an RFP in terms of replacing a truck. The Seguin has recommended to me that we look into a procurement service because nowadays, essentially, you can go through the process, but within the month that it takes for you to get it through the meetings and council and debate and so forth, it's gone.
Okay.
And then you're waiting another year. So so that is something that I'm still investigating the use of as well. They recommended canoe procurement service as one that they use. So again, more information on that I can easily send out. I haven't done a ton of research on it myself.
And there's no one selling a recently new, relatively new mini pumper?
That would be nice. That would be nice. There is a slim possibility when we look at, if you look at the quote that was provided for the other vehicle, there is a list of demo vehicles, I guess, that they had around as just a rescue. I have it here. So now, whether this, again, these quotes were attained back in December in preparation for handing my budget in January. So whether or not these vehicles are still around is completely.
Yeah. I was just wondering, too, what Whitestone, I mean, they've been wrestling with this, too. I don't know where it went through council, but there was some discussion. It was a huge bill, 700-some thousand that I saw too. I don't know what they were purchasing actually. Or
that was a frontline vehicle. That was a frontline pumper.
Okay.
Yes. So that was not a mini pumper. That was a.
They did purchase it.
That is a full size vehicle. To my knowledge, they have purchased it.
Okay.
To my knowledge, they've made the commitment.
Right.
I don't believe they received it. McDougall themselves are going through the procurement of two vehicles right now: Seguin, Parry Sound. Everybody's looking at these mini pumpers right now as a way of extending our longevity and so forth, as well as you can't beat them for access down roads with trees coming across, dirt roads. The four-wheel drive aspect alone is fantastic, but now you have a vehicle that's significantly shorter, significantly smaller in stature. It's a lot easier to get down these fire lanes, right? Which then improves our access and so.
So the mini pumper, does it have any water capacity on that frame?
Yes, it does.
And how many liters is that?
That I don't have the specs available to me right now because I don't have the specs for the one that I was given the quote for, the 300. But I do have it in my email for the other quotes that I was given from Dependable, which is another manufacturer of these, but I would have to bring those up. They come with the minimum pump to be able to meet the NFPA standards, and I believe it's a 250-gallon tank. So, but that's off the top of my head. I don't want that to be.
If he's relatively new,
No, mini pumpers have been around for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, most townships around us already have them, and they've usually had them for at least 10 years.
So
they're tested.
Faults, yeah.
Though they're tested, yeah, and there are different manufacturers out there. I've heard great things about the pricing for a company that's owned by Mennonites out west. Apparently they are coming in underneath most people's quotes right now. I just haven't been able to get in touch with them yet. So we are in the very beginnings of that if council decided that that is the direction that makes the most sense to them.
Okay.
If you decide that you don't want to have the watering capability, you want to cap your investment at the $300,000, then I have the ability to just put together the list of demands that we have from our truck committee and start giving you proposals as to what we could replace it with, and you know that that's your cap. So this is where the guidance comes in.
Is 250 gallons enough to put out fires that we have?
So 250 again, that's off the top of my head.
Yeah.
The 250 gallons would be a small tank that you would be able to use for car fires, you'd be able to use it for initial attack on a structure fire. When you're dealing with a mini pumper, getting more people to the scene, getting that tanker close to the scene, or being able to run a tanker shuttle, any fire that we have, we are into tanker shuttles. There's very little that you can do because we have, if our lakes are frozen, we can't get in. We are the subject of putting another hydrant in when we redo the boat launches has come up as an ideal place to do it. So we have water access difficulties just being a non-hydranted township. So it's a battle, right? But it allows us to make an initial attack, be it a car fire, structure fire, wildfire, whatever. And then we worry about where the water's coming from after that, because now we have an operating time in which to source, right?
And if we bought a mini pumper,
yes,
can it be used in replacement of Rescue 2 in a realistic way?
Absolutely. That's
yeah.
That is
okay.
That
where
is
you were
that is the
it.
Add-on
okay.
value to it. Is
okay.
we're doing a new Rescue 2 with the blessing, obviously. Do we want that to have water carrying capabilities or not? I didn't propose it initially in the proposal because, quite honestly, it never came up.
Okay.
Now with the longevity that Princess County has brought up, with the fact that it's a hot topic and I'm learning more and more about them all the time, it's like, well, this to me, and again, I'm looking at it from one side, which is why I bring it to the table, to me, this makes sense if we can extend that life, if we can, you know what I mean, at a moderate amount of cost.
That was a good question, Nick. I think it's very important. It's very important to put fires out, but I think it's very important to be able to get to people's homes, like for medical calls. That's most of our calls, and to me, saving a life is by far more important than putting a fire out that doesn't nobody's in it. Let them get their insurance. So that's a good question. If it was a tanker, it still acts as a rescue vehicle.
Absolutely,
it accommodates the same amount of guys and everything, so it's a little
same
longer.
Same guys, same amount of medical.
Yeah,
they'll
still
be
able to access some of our smaller roads and
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. It'll be better access because it'll have four-wheel drive.
Right on. So if we went to the pumper, you're saying we might be okay then for another 8 years before we have to replace the tanker?
No. Ideally, in a perfect world, you're better off for 20 years. Because you've now replaced your frontline pumping apparatus. In the package that I provided, I know we probably don't have it. You might have it in your folders there. It's the insurance rating for small rural communities. First line duty trucks is 16 to 20 years. And then it affects your insurance rating after that. So the township got, when we replaced Rescue 1, and when we added four more bodies to our roster, we got a better insurance rating for 2023 than we had in 2022 and the years before that, because we had more capabilities and we had newer equipment. We weren't dealing with aged equipment that had mechanical issues and stuff like that, right? So now we're essentially buying that time. Because if we don't consider that, then we have to be prepared that 8 years from now, we have a major investment that we're going to have to look at.
Right, but
and so we don't. We can just buy a pickup truck and we can run it as a regular rescue, and then we can look at another pumping apparatus 3, 4, 5 years from now. There's nothing saying we have to wait the 8 years, right? But now we're buying two trucks, spending at least twice as much, you know, in order to achieve that. Whereas we might be able to just nip it in the bud if we feel like we can manage that from a budget point of view.
Okay, so we avoid the possibly the large expenditure, and 8 years from now, we'll still have to make a large purchase beyond that sum at some point.
No, because that tanker, which will need to be, which according to the current standard, will need to be replaced in 8 years, is no longer, from the day that we get the mini pumper, considered the frontline pumping apparatus.
Okay, I get you.
Which means that we have now, under here, under the guidance that the insurance company currently provides, it means that we have a longer runway with it because it's a secondary apparatus. At a minimum, you're going to get another 5 years. But now that it's a secondary apparatus, we have the ability to offset that timing. So you're potentially getting 20 years of benefit. At a minimum, you're going to get 5 years of benefit.
Well, that sounds to me like, as far as, again, hate borrowing money, went so many years, debt-free kind of thing, but sometimes when, you know, possibly, and realistically, you're probably looking at $100,000 more by the time it's the vehicle you want.
Yes, you're looking at, to get it outfitted properly and so forth, that's probably what you're going to be looking at.
Right.
Now, again, I'm going to investigate the different ways of getting the best possible deal. A procurement service, according to my peers in Seguin and Perry Sound, seems to be a way that they're finding it very effective and quick and getting them good prices and good deals. So it's, you know, this is like I said, it's a sort of a dynamic request. We're going to, with your blessing, we'll push forward with this and work harder on this in terms of trying to get a proper answer. And at the very least, I'm laying my cards on the table saying this is what we need right now.
Right.
In terms of a new rescue tube.
Okay, and say if council, well, maybe if it sounds like a reasonable idea. In my mind, it's starting to sound like, well, another $100,000 to me it sounds like a good long-term investment. And so presently in your budget, we're putting $50,000 into reserves to upgrade vehicles. Do you think we can look at the possibility of having that figure a little less for the next few years to help compensate the extra cost here?
Well,
are we pushing?
So we have one of the other line items in the budget that you'll see is that in terms of savings, I proposed that we do $25,000 at a minimum a year towards the purchase of SCBAs. We have a time that we have a deadline with which to replace all of our breathing efforts. 2027, we have to place an order because in 2028, those things have to come off the truck. They're no longer certifiable for us to use in fires. So we have a purchase that we're going to be looking at at that time of anywhere between $140,000 and McDougall and Perry Sound just secured Scott SCBAs, and I think it was $220,000 they ended up spending because they wanted to have the exact same breathing apparatus and so forth. There are various grades, there are various quality, as you can imagine, just like anything, cars, trucks, whatever, of breathing apparatus. The ones that I have always used in my other position have been the Scotts, 25 years of experience with them, and they've never failed me once. There are budget ways that you can go about this, but I don't, to be honest, know anybody that uses them. So if you want to reallocate that, see, if we financed this vehicle, then yes, so I think we can reduce what we're putting away into the capital reserves, but we may actually be better off for the next few years to just redirect. Maybe we don't have to do the 25 on top of the 50 You know, maybe we just stick with the 50 then, and then we're saving for that purchase.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm not, it doesn't have to be, but I'm just thinking.
Yeah, no, that's...
It makes our investment now look so much better. You know, yeah, if you, okay, you're making a saving somewhere else, and if you can, if you think, I don't know, for our budget, whether we're going to actually wait to get a closer price if we do go the pumper route. So you can say, okay, this is going to be $100,000. At that point, you come forward, okay, this is how it's not going to cost the taxpayers too much money, is we're going to save some of that money in this other portion of your budget. I would be willing to see his proposal.
Yep.
It might mean delaying.
It would be a long budget meeting.
So, Rob, the $127,000 you have in reserve,
yes.
Will that go towards this?
According to Roshan's plan, that goes towards this purchase, yes.
That's why also
so
that being $173,000, that was the part of, you know,
okay.
I was mentioning in the debenture, $600,000 plus $173,000, that's how it becomes $773,000.
And the $173,000 is $300,000 less $127,000.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. That's what I understood.
Yes, sir.
So just you mentioned that there's better insurance ratings. Does that actually translate down to our taxpayers that they actually get a better insurance rate? Not the shuttle accreditation, but this other insurance rating that you're talking about?
The shuttle accreditation is all part and parcel to it. If we didn't have our shuttle accreditation, which is due to renew in 2025, I believe, we have to redo the certification. Yes, yeah, so we went from... And I don't have the full documents with me. I just have the portion that's got to do with the actual apparatus. But we went from, I believe, a 4 to a 3 in terms of their scale of 5, which puts us on par with some larger municipalities in terms of the service that we can render. We run a lot of calls here, right? So it's it was a good step forward in terms of us being able to do that. Theoretically, because we have a better rating in speaking with the insurance adjusters, theoretically, we should get residents should get a better rate on their property insurance. Residents, so we should, the township should get a better rate on its insurance because we can provide fire services at a more reliable, sustainable level. Whether that in actual fact translates, that's Desjardins may decide not to recognize fire adjusters. Reading, you know what I mean? I don't know how the ins and outs of the insurance industry work, but in my mind, they never get cheaper every time I look at my policy. So I don't know, you know, whether how it's going to directly translate. But in theory, according to their own literature, the Fire Underwriters Association, yes, it should translate into cheaper insurance rates.
And secondly, I think what we really need to do is look at our asset management plan from a broad perspective over all departments. We need an updated spreadsheet so that we can do that, because when you look at how much the municipality has invested into to the fire department over, say, since the 2018 term of council, it's close to $2 million just on rolling stock and facilities. And when you see the needs of the public works department, where they are crammed in their building and they're short on, you know, that they need additional assets, I think we need to weigh this all out and look at what's coming in the pipeline regarding roads. We're just winging it, you know. Really, we hear one perspective from one department and another perspective. We don't have actually statistical data in front of us, a spreadsheet showing us, you know, where things are at in regards to our asset management plan. So I think to make a fact-based decision, that's what we need to do before we make any final decisions, so that we can see financially how things are going to be looking over the next 5 years, so all of a sudden there isn't a massive need for any type of, you know, needs in not just infrastructure, but needs for the municipality in general.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I invite you to go and relook at the document that I provided you back in August, which does have the succession planning and so forth, and it does give you the timelines and it lays it out, essentially how much it is for that we pay a year in recertification of vehicles, how much it is that we have to look at planning for in the future and so forth. All I can do is propose what I need to provide the best possible service for the constituents, and I rely on your guidance and your opinions for what we can actually afford to do and what we can't afford to do. You know, I only get one perspective, so my perspective is provide the best possible service that I can. So that would be probably a good thing to do. So, and I know that back in 2019 and 2020, yeah, we were stuck with having to do two very quick purchases of apparatus because I guess one broke down and another one expired. So if we are finished paying for the last one this year, I believe, correct?
No. In, it was 5-year debenture.
Yeah, 2019 was a 5-year?
It started in 2020, so maybe next.
So next year it's done, yeah. So that comes off the books, what that was costing the township monthly off of that emergency purchase for the breakdown apparatus. That was the brand new pumper. That again, all goes into the whole insurance rating thing, right? We have newer vehicles that helps us out. So,
and you mentioned the asset management plan. I mean, it's put together by professionals, our own professionals, but they're the ones that supply the information to the company that draws that up. So I think we are getting up-to-date information from Rob, certainly, and from Greg. And this is where it comes in. What needs replaced, they're the best ones to know. They're using the equipment on a regular basis. And they know what the regulations are, what's required, and what they can get by with, sort of thing. And obviously, they've got to put forward, as you say, the best possible protection. So I think, in a sense, we've got an asset management plan in front of us with each department. We have to coordinate it all, that's all. You look at that, I mean, all the things for the trucks and the vehicles, the previous one in 2016, the road super supplied most of that information to those people. And this is where I say it's important, and even he said at the time that, you know, they have certain things in there, like the road study that was done, roads need study, and they just come in from outside and saying, well, these roads need be done first, and yet they have very little traffic on them. So it's up to our professionals in the township to decide, you know, where the money should go. And we try to, as you say, listen to all of them and have to decide on behalf of the taxpayers what's going to work best for the township. Obviously, we want the Cadillac or everything, but can't do that with the budget we have.
And we can, I'd like to just point of clarity too, we can do this. We can achieve the goal of replacing Rescue 2, have a good, reliable 4x4 apparatus for the money that we have in the account and take on zero debt and have some left over. That's clear. We can do that. We can go with the same vehicle that we have at a minimum, what we purchased very quickly out of Rescue 1. So that does exist. Is it the best course of action? That's where I'm bringing the proposals forward and what is acceptable and what is not in terms of how we can leverage this purchase to only do one well, right? So
so a couple of years ago when we did purchase, I can't remember which fire department vehicle, then there was money that was transferred from roads department reserves. Is that correct?
That could be in 2019-20, I'm not sure about that one.
So was that ever put back into the roads department reserve?
I can look into that, I have no idea.
So I'm just saying that, you know, I think that we're heading into a deficit in the roads department. We've heard that they are really pressed for space in their facility, and, you know, the state of the roads, we know that there needs to be some additional funds. You know, we're looking at Center Road and Herdville Road, but there are other roads as well that we're hearing from the ratepayers that are in that are diminishing in their state of or their condition. So, you know, once again, we have to look at what's available, what are the priorities, and, you know, make those hard decisions.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Anyway, that covers essentially the apparatus portion of it, but there's in the budget, I did make some other increases throughout the budget. And so, are there any other questions to do with any of that? Or? Sorry,
you mentioned SCBA.
Yes.
Do you know where that, what line that is on the budget? I was looking.
So
at
it is on my proposed one.
It's in the proposed capital budget, page number 3, transfer to reserve, the first one.
Okay. Thank you.
GL code.
I was looking the whole time, though. I can't find it. So.
GL code is 150403.
Really at the bottom. Transfer to reserves, very first line.
Right.
It says transfer to reserve SBA order in 2027 to replace in 2028.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Bottom of page 3?
Yeah.
Page 2, yeah.
It's the first line under transfers to reserve at the bottom of the page. So.
And what we've done, because we have this runway, is that I've actually engaged these companies to come in, bring in their breathing apparatus. We have a night. We take our training nights occasionally, and we've done it once. We've done another one in April coming up, where they bring in their SCBAs, and our guys put them on, and they do a workout with them, and they use them. All the demo packs that they have, and they check the adjustability. They check the, you know, like, is this thing comfortable? Is it light? Is it easily washable, so that we can maintain them? You know, and how difficult is it going to be to maintain these packs? Because this is a long term investment. This is a 20-year investment. So, and then everybody does an evaluation form at the end of it, so that when it does come time to pull the trigger on this, I'll be able to come in here with a binder. And each different pack company will have 20 evaluation forms in it, and you'll be able to look and see, you know, we really didn't like these ones because they weren't adjustable, or something fell off it in the middle of testing it, or, you know what I mean? Because they are of varying qualities. The Cadillac, maybe we don't need the Cadillac. Maybe we don't need all the bells and whistles, but we'll have an honest-to-goodness evaluation by the people that use them when it comes time to actually make this decision.
Need their input, sure.
And just to summarize, because I'm getting confused with figures, the mini pumper is going to be definitely in excess of 300?
The mini pumper will be in excess of 300.
Okay.
The minimum number that I heard was 300,000. I have a quote in my binder right now from Dependable for 405,000. Mm. And that it comes equipped with everything that you need, lights and everything, and so forth. The only thing we would need to do is take our radio and put it in, right? And put stickers on it. So.
But that's not reflected in the budget that we have here in front of us. The
no,
budget.
Because that has come in since
we
delivered this draft.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify one more time to get it straight in my head. So.
Again, it was a dynamic request asking, you know, do you have an interest in this? No? Okay. If we absolutely can't do it, we can't do it. So we'll just make the best decision we can.
Did that include taxes, that 400 you're talking about, or plus
No,
taxes?
That was 405 plus HST.
So we're talking probably another 150,000 end up grade from the rescue to the pumper then.
But you get the HST
back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true enough.
Get that back,
yeah.
So.
Okay, as Rob asked, any questions on what was submitted for fire?
Thank you, that's a lot of information. Back and forth.
Sorry to weigh you down with all the information. But, and then, so we've made, I've made some recommendations within the budget for other things that we really need to look at, like our tower. Our tower was put up in 84, and with the two of us searching, we have no record since we've taken it over of any maintenance or anything that's ever been done to it. So they typically need to come in and recertify the guy lines, maybe replace the guy lines that hold it up from falling over. The antenna has never been replaced. It could really be a big part of our signal problems that we encounter, especially in the south end of the township, because it's just corroded. It's old, right?
Any records, it was an MTO tower.
Was when it was put up in 84.
So
yes.
Would they have records of? No,
they still have equipment in it. It's just it's not plugged in and sitting in the corner. So I couldn't tell you. So the only documentation I can find has got a 1986 date on it. That was the last time it was licensed, I think. So.
And that's on our budget, the township's budget. That is for.
If we look at the capital budget and then
capital budget,
the first fire department, first three items, it's portable radios, radio tower maintenance, and station two, exterior painting and sealing of the windows.
On page one.
Page one, yeah.
Sorry, okay. That helps.
So I did obtain quotes. We What we're faced with, and I'll give you a broad picture of this, and then we can narrow it down into the three different subjects that are really encased within this. We have our dispatch system. We have had meetings with the Perry Sound EMS dispatchers. Bruce Armstrong, I believe, is the name of the gentleman who's in charge of it, and Rhonda Schneider. They have brought forth the fact that we have essentially a very old, antiquated dispatch system. Quite literally looks like an old telephone. And that is how we communicate with our dispatch. They cannot talk to more than one person at a time. They cannot talk to more than one department at a time. And they currently dispatch Perry Sound, McDougal, Seguin, us, Whitestone, Harling, Britt, Henvey Inlet. Like, they go quite a ways. Mm-hmm. I think they have 8 of them in total. On the East Perry Sound side of things, so along Highway 11, they have the exact same console that we have because we all bought into it at the same time 20-something years ago. And their console broke down, and they had to actually source parts off of eBay in order to repair it and get it back into service. So the ambulance dispatch has brought to us, okay, they are putting money into this system. They are updating their system. It's time that we look into this. The province is updating its overall communications system. It used to be called FleetNet, which is like a truncated digital system. And the new system that they're working on has actually been spearheaded by the Ministry of Health, but it's quite similar to that. We had the meeting with them, and they brought to us a quote of $108,000 that all of the townships on the West Perry Sound side would have to share. So our share of that was $8,000. So in the budget that we have, I included... Sorry, I'm just looking for my line here. Under mutual aid agreement, 150102, I included an $8,000 bump in that budget to cover our portion of that console. Now, we've formed a committee involving myself, the new chief of Wasakasing, chief of Seguin, and we are doing investigations at this point in time and obtaining quotes. We've got a little bit better quote from point to point in terms of replacing this dispatch console. Replacing this dispatch console goes from an old analog telephone to a completely digital platform. Thus, it brings up the subject of everybody is updating their radio system from what we currently are, analog, to a digital platform. Digital platforms offer you many, many benefits, and so this is why we're sort of looking at this all together. The $8,000 is in the budget for this year, but it may not be used this year. Other areas where their budget was done previous or before us, they have said, oh, we can't afford to do that this year. And so I have left it in there because if in July it decides to conk out and we have to buy parts off eBay in order to fix ours, we at least have that money that's sitting there that's not going to get touched unless we absolutely need to replace the console. If we don't have to touch that in 2024, then that $8,000 or whatever the portion is that we decide for the system that we're going with, that will just go into next year's budget, okay? And that won't be touched or reallocated or do anything with it. I've just, since we are proposing our budget, I'm like, all right, I'm going to put that in. That way, in July, if we have to pull the trigger, we have the money sitting there, other than trying to have a special meeting and figure it out.
Yeah, I'm just interested to know. Sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle, too.
Yes.
Sitting there, $8,000 this year, not to be touched. Does it suddenly show up next year as another $8,000 addition?
No, it will be. You'll see at the end of that year. There's the typical budget, I believe, is $1,500, and I put $9,500 in. At the end of the year, that budget will have a surplus of $8,000 in that budget. Okay, give or take interest or whatever it is. Right?
Yeah, it's just sometimes that's what happens. You didn't spend it necessarily.
Yeah.
But that's a figure you put into the new budget as well. And so you just keep accumulating.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not going to, it doesn't get upped by $8,000. $8,000 is the high quote at this point in time for what we need. The quote that we got from point to point, it took it from $106,000 down to an $80,000 quote. Mm-hmm. So we are we won't, probably won't need the full 8,000. But I wanted to make sure that we had it set aside in case we had to make an emergency purchase.
Now, do you have, I see people rustling everywhere here trying to find it. Do you have the actual page number of that?
Yeah, it's on page number
427.
Four on the, yeah, four line 03150102, mutual aid agreement, total amount is 9,500. Page number four.
Right.
And kind of in the middle.
Oh, in the middle there. Okay.
So this is where we're coming to this subject because it, timing wise, it makes sense to just do it all at once. We can expect this radio system to last us several years. Obviously, it's a very important part of our emergency management plan. It's a very important part of the overall functioning of the fire department. Going to a digital dispatch and upgrading our portables to a digital platform, which includes the antenna and so forth, so everything that you see within the budget and that's been quoted there, that'll allow for, it's a safer platform. They can actually tell who's talking because it drops on their screen which portable is speaking. So it's a lot safer for people when they're out at scenes. If I don't hear a transmission, I can say, dispatch, who was that? And they tell me it was firefighter 12 or whatever. Okay, I know exactly where he is, right? Especially if we're in a mayday situation or any kind of scenario like that, it becomes a lot safer. From a coverage perspective, from a mutual aid type of scenario, our signal will now be able to bounce off of Whitestone's tower. It'll, instead of always having to come to Balsam, and then go back throughout the township. If we're in the south end, we're using McDougal's Tower.
Yeah.
It bounces off of there. It bounces off of Carling's. It bounces off of wherever we are. Dispatch has the ability to combine channels. So if we have a major incident, such as a railway disaster or anything like that, then we have the ability, they can just take it without any input from the particular portables, combine channels so that we're all on the same platform. Okay? So it extends our range of coverage. And it increases the amount of safety that we have for our individual users. So I have proposed that we just tear the Band-Aid off. And again, with this budget, the first one you had for me last year was after 6 months in the position, and I'm like, all right, I'm not going to rock any boats here. Let's go with what we know, what works. I didn't overspend. In fact, we finished last year with a 16% savings. It was underneath budget by 16%. And that even included the reallocation of funds because of all the training that we have to do to meet our certifications. Okay, so from this standpoint, this year I wanted to give you guys the absolute authority and ability to look at, this is what the township needs. Can we do it this year? Do we have to do it next year? If we had to do the dispatch computer only this year, because the money's there and we have to pull the trigger because it fails, and we can't do portables until next year, we can do that. What we do is, as an analog system, we get put. We can still use the dispatch computer. They don't get any of the benefits, and we don't get any of the increased range or anything like that. We're at the same position that we currently are,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Where we have holes in the township and stuff like that where it's difficult to talk. So the sooner we can do it, which is why I said we might as well just tear the Band-Aid off here, if we do it all at once, then we reap the benefits of everything. We are completely set up this year so that when everybody else pulls the trigger in January and a new dispatch system goes into play, then we're running at full capacity. So it's a common subject in every township right now. I know Seguin is updating two of their towers, and they're going digital with portables and so forth as well. McDougal did last year and so forth. So there's a lot of different municipalities that are all looking at this. So it's all sort of part and parcel with the next gen 911 that we're just going through and stuff, right? Like, it's to increase communication and so forth. Whether we'll have the ability, whether the MOH will open up the ability for us to communicate directly with the ambulance or not, remains to be seen. But at least from a fire perspective and a mutual aid perspective, we're all able to be put together now. So, the proposals that, I guess you didn't, did we include any quotes?
No.
No? Okay. So the proposals that I've given, which was the, what was it for the, I've been looking up on my thing here. The radio tower refurbishment was $25,000, and the portable radio update was $25,000 as well. So it was a $50,000 investment on top of the $8,000 for dispatch, because that's a completely separate bill, in order to make bring the township into the digital age.
The boat's rocking a bit more, but yeah.
It's
we're not
and
tipping.
Again, with this, all I can do is say this
oh,
is,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Again, the tower from 84, with
yeah.
no record of upkeep, it
yeah.
you know, we're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
And there's a certain amount of catch up here.
But this was all already in here.
That's
yeah,
all in there.
It's
yes.
all
there's
it's
no
all
change.
In, there's no
that's
answers,
all in there.
Right?
I'm just making sure that we.
Yeah.
I give you the opportunity to ask any questions that you have about it.
So on the same page as that's 4 of 27. Further down, the equipment and repairs.
Sorry, which one? Which one?
So
page 4 on the budget.
4 of 27.
Equipment and repairs, 115, sorry, 150, 114, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 115, 114. So what is that related to? Is that still...
Did you end up getting the draft budget that I gave in, which had notes
part
on the side?
Part of the first draft.
Okay, so if you had... This was my draft budget that I created and handed in. And on the side, there's little notes that tell you exactly what the certain increases are. So that one there in particular, that was for 150, what was it again, 150, 114?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so that includes the annual testing that we have to go through. So $2,000 for SCBA testing and $3,200. Which is what we pay annually for to carrier for pump and ladder certifications. So that's why that is, it was taken out of. Previously, it was divided into 5 or 6 different lumps and out of different trucks and stuff like that. Now it's all this. It's just here. It's easier to understand. It's easier to see. This is what we pay. So instead of saying, "Well, tanker one needed $800 and something like that."
That's happening more and more with us. It's all spread into so many different compartmentalized, and it's difficult
yeah.
to follow.
I get confused, so I try to work with it and just
yeah.
simplify it as much as I can. So that's why you have the 900% increase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a reallocation of it, of an expense that we are already committed to. Your certifications.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Thank you.
Yep.
So, is the council is okay with the portable radios and the radio tower maintenance somehow?
I personally think that if we can be one step ahead to ensure that the antiquated system that's being run through EMS, that we're, you know, in a position where we're ready to, you know, align with that the new system they get in place, I think that that's just. Wise strategic move,
yeah.
personally.
Me too.
Yeah, great.
I think you have consensus.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. That's
and there's
great.
$30,000 for the on the capital budget. There's $30,000 for the exterior painting.
So Station 2 was put up back in the 80s when we got a grant from the Ontario government, and it has had little to no outside maintenance. The roof leaks, somehow it didn't leak this winter, but it's had a history of leaking.
No,
I guess we didn't have enough snow load. But the windows, around the doors, it just has had no real upkeep and so forth. I have saw a quote for the exterior painting of Station 2, just to bring it from the three different colors that it is to one nice color. We're going to seal around the windows, paint the doors, and essentially just bring it back to life. Make
now,
it look nicer.
Procurement. Is that okay to do that? You just got one quote sort of thing?
No.
Oh, no, I would. I just, for the ballpark purpose of putting
okay.
a budget
yeah.
together,
yeah.
Okay.
I sought a, because I'm not a painter, I just sought, okay, how much would I be approximately looking at for this?
Yeah.
Right. So we make it better. It may, you know, it's going to be in that ballpark. So 30,000, we would work with that number if that's what we had in order to make it happen. And get the maximum amount of maintenance done to upgrade.
I thought you had experience painters on your crew, but you're all going to take a spray paint or something.
So the highest priority on that maintenance list is fixing the roof?
So when we were given the 5-year projection we were asked for last fall, I believe, in October, I included the roof in that, and so the figure of the roof is at some point it's going to cost us, you know, however much roof costs us, $50,000 to get a new tarred roof put up. I'm not sure, but so it's they're all a priority instead of, because I already know I'm rocking significantly. I decided that maybe we'll go with the outside aesthetic of it, because it wasn't an issue in particular for this winter, the roof. It will definitely be something that we need to look at going forward. Perhaps we can, instead of getting a whole new roof replacement, do we just get a patch done and maybe that will do? We have to hire somebody in order to go up and really give us a proper assessment of it. That's not something that I've been able to do, or I was prepared to do myself, was to go up and have a look at that. I wouldn't be able to tell you. But for various reasons, I prioritized for this year the exterior and the ceiling and so forth. Ceiling, I mean, the caulking around the windows and doors and stuff like that. And the rejuvenation of the hall. I guess I can't really... I have been... If we were to go closed, I could tell you something that is possibly in the works for that building, but it's not something that I can make the decision on solely myself. It's just very loose discussions that have been happening at this point in time. So there's a possible reason why we would want to make it look nicer.
Yeah, that's something too, I think, it just came up recently with you, the public works garage, there's a leak over there, so maybe it's something we can combine.
That might be good to get one contractor to give us a really good really good assessment of it. So it's the idea of just making it, bringing it back to life, essentially, is what we're trying to do. So,
just because previously station one, the roof was leaking at fire hall number one. This was before the new build.
Oh, okay.
And so then, you know, a council had asked, well, you know, how long has this been going on? And then it was a matter of just someone going up there and then replacing some of the gaskets on the screws for the steel roofing.
Oh, yeah.
And the roof was fixed. So they had let it leak for X amount of years when it was a very simple fix, and then the roof was fixed. So, you know, and that's number one. If you're trying to protect everything underneath it, you want to make sure that the roof is not leaking.
Absolutely. No, and so I can get somebody to go up. I can hire somebody to go up and have a look at it who actually knows what they're talking about with regards to roof waterproofing and so forth. And then we'll have a better idea as to what we're looking at.